But Dad, isn't it time for illegal ham interface?
But bro, where's the banjo?
Some sports shows try to give you hot takes, but only one can give you a big old piece of hot ham. Welcome to Illegal Ham to the Face. Talking all Cleveland sports and, of course, food on our semi-famous Fat Boy Thursday. Here are your hosts, Fatty and Big Bri.
But Dad, isn't it time for Illegal Ham in the Face?
Had it on loop.
I like it.
And there's the first fatty fail of the night. Here we go. All right. Welcome, everybody, to Illegal Ham to the Face. We are on Illegal Ham to the Face and Network 216. Thank you for joining us tonight. We do have a special guest coming in here a little bit later, talk some Cavs playoffs with us. Kevin Arnold from ESPN Cleveland, from the Voice of Land podcast, from the play-by-play of your champion Cleveland Crunch, another championship here in Cleveland, Bri. So he's going to be joining us, talk some Cavs. We're going to talk some food tonight. We are doing our top three most annoying fan bases. Bri, we have to exclude Ohio State, Michigan. That is the one rule I have done. Roger already gave me crap. He said, no, that's not fair because it's 2-1, me and Bri versus you. And I told Roger he could stick it where the sun don't shine. You're looking
okay. So, well, no, I was going to ask, is it all sports
all
or
sports.
Is it just college? Okay, all sports. Sports. Any sport base.
Any fan base you deem annoying in your top three.
Should be easy.
It should be definitely easy. For Fat Boy Thursday, what did I have down for Fat Boy Thursday that we're talking about this week, Bri? Oh, destinations, food destinations. Holy.
Oh, God. Yeah, states.
Okay. Right? Not states, cities. All right.
Cities.
Oh, we're going to go through some of our favorite cities that maybe we would like to travel to check out the food scene there. And of course, we always have trivia brought to you by City Dogs, and people can all still fool. So please go help. Bri, how you doing, buddy? It's sunshine out. It's beautiful. We had a couple of thunderstorms roll through last night that kind of shook Cleveland area a little bit. But other than that, we're on the other side. How you doing today, bud?
I'm doing great. A day above ground. It's a good day.
All right. We always do start our show with some shout-outs. Let's see here. Rough Bucks are doing a mock draft Sunday at 4 p.m. Lyman Lounge and a Pod Squad, Lyman Lounge and a few others if we want to join. Okay. Perfect.
Cool. Thanks, Eric.
Sounds all like right. Fun. So, Bri, do you got any shout-outs this week, brother?
Boy, I better. I got a little hot water on Friday from a shout-out that I had a couple weeks ago, and it came at the hands of two upset elementary school girls. So I shouted out my nephew Luke. Now I need to come clean, come correct, and shout out the very smart, very talented Briella and Adelin, and I'll throw in their baby sister Juliet too, just in case she's unhappy with it too. So got to do a Zoom with their dad and all of them on Friday night last week and spend some time with them. So had a good time catching up. So, but I let them know that I would give them a special shout out this week. So hopefully you're studying right now.
Yeah.
Nothing's stay more in important school. Than school. Yeah.
Stay in school. Chris is here. James is here tonight. Bri, the only shout out I got tonight, I got two. So first off, I want to shout out my wife. Our anniversary is on Saturday. It'll be our 7th wedding anniversary. So, honey, I love you. Thank you for letting me talk sports with this big fella every Thursday night at 7 p.m. and some other nights as needed. Appreciate it. And the other shout out, Bri, is to you and your wife and Lily's Lemonade for donating what you guys donated from the Medina Home and Garden Show. What you guys donated to City Dogs Cleveland is truly amazing. I can't thank you enough. I sent a picture to Beth. She is very excited. She wanted to thank you guys personally. So I want to thank you, buddy. Shout out to you and your wife for everything you donated to City Dogs, and it's near and dear to our heart. You know that as well as I do. So thank you, brother, for everything you donated. You had like 6 boxes of biscuits and a whole bunch of chew toys. That was it.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be anything major, right?
No, that, it doesn't have to be that much. It can be a box that that you maybe find at a discount store or something. They'll take anything as long as it's not expired, I'm sure.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, we went up there. It was a beautiful day on Saturday. We went up there and it was busy. The parking lot was probably 80% full. They had a few dogs out back, walking them around, playing with some people in the front. They had a couple in the cages right next to the parking lot there. And so it was cool. We had to give the pups a little bit of love and quickly get out of there because I get a little choked up. Because I want to adopt them all. I want to give them all good homes. And it's just not it's not possible. But yeah, all we can do is spread the word.
Load them in.
Oh, yeah.
Load them in.
Put the sunglasses on. Let's get out of here. I can't stay much longer, but oh, they're so sweet. The ones we gave a little love to, they're so sweet. They're all such good dogs. And yeah, man's best friend for a reason.
All right. Well, with that note, Bri, we do have our trivia tonight, which is brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. And I'm going to pull it up here. They still have full kennels, people. So look at all of these beautiful dogs before I play something special for Bri tonight. All these beautiful dogs are adoptable at City Dogs Cleveland. And if you cannot adopt at all, please volunteer, donate, whatever you can do to help out. I know May 4th, Top Dog Tailgate at WJ Lodge in Berea will be having their Bark in the Park is what they call it, $25 donation to go have some food, drink some beer, be around some friends, and help out City Dogs. Look at these beautiful pups, Bri. But, Bri, I told you I had some surprises for you tonight, and I hope you're ready for them, all right?
Sure.
So here is one of three, buddy. Let's get into our trivia, which is brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. Now, Bri, I got some exciting news today. Would you like? How'd you like the video, buddy?
Oh yeah, it's fresh, it's nice and shiny. I love it.
All right, now I do have a surprise. To the point. Surprise for you, Bri. I got a text from our great friend Nick Weary, our competitive eater. He will be in Cleveland in June, competing at the Nathan's Hot Dog Qualifier in Parma. So we're going to hook up with Nick Weary when he gets into town. So I can't wait. So on that note, Bri, last year he entered the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Can you tell me how many hot dogs that he guzzled down to finish in fourth place, Bri?
Okay, I think... it might be in the ballpark. No, you're not going to. Do they count half hot dogs?
No half hot dogs. They're a whole hot dog.
Okay. All right. So they don't get credit for half. All right. Okay. I got it here.
All right. You sure you got it?
No, I think I'm in the ballpark, but yeah, I don't know. I don't want to sell them short.
All right. Well, Chris is here, so you know we got to play our next sounder, and our special guest is here also, so we'll bring him right in and start talking Cavs versus Magic. You ready, big fella?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, this man has many hats. And he's been a true friend of ours ever since we really started this show. He is the play-by-play announcer for your champion Cleveland Crunch. Your ESPN Cleveland analyst, also Voice of Land podcast, also Big Play Network. Let's bring in Kevin Arnold.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, I've
seen you forever.
What's up?
I know, man. I'm just hanging out in my son's room, you know, doing the show.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, but how are things going with you first off? How's everything going?
Oh, I mean, it's a little rough today. Little guys got COVID, so, you know, we're...
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
Stayed home from work to take care of the little guy, but he's... Boy, he takes sickness more like a champ than Jana and I do, my wife, because... This dude is just, he wants to play. I was just passing the basketball back and forth with him to get ready for doing the show. He loves his basketball. So perfect timing.
All right, so we won't keep you too long. I know you got everything going on there at the house. We got the Cavs versus the Magic. And we had the Cavs, Brian. I don't know if you realized this last week. The Cavs kind of tanked out the fourth quarter just to make sure that they got the Orlando Magic, which some people were upset. Some people were happy. Depends on who the person was. Kevin, how did you feel about that fourth quarter and them sitting the starters out in the fourth quarter when they could have done it at halftime? I mean, honestly, they could have done it at the beginning of the game if they wanted to, if this is how this was going to go. But they let them play for three quarters and then just said, that's all right, sit down in the fourth quarter and we'll put in the backups.
Yeah, it's a bad look, isn't it, guys, when you're up 10 and you go into the fourth quarter and you still follow your plan of sitting you guys down. Look, the overall thing didn't affect me as much as everybody else, like the firestorm that was Twitter and social media during the game. I just, like, I understood the bad look that it causes, and now you've created bulletin board material. I know a lot of people have said it. It's not an original take by me. Like, any team would use that. The notion is out there. The narrative is out there. The Cavs wanted the Magic. That's what they were going for. They didn't want to face off against Philly or Miami, and they didn't want, they didn't want to face off maybe against the Knicks until they absolutely had to. So they decided to choose the harder route and face a team that's going to be hungry, that, yeah, has no playoff experience, guys. But, again, bulletin board material, momentum does a lot for you. And, you know, they can dispel it all they want in practice like they have this week. The notion is out there. The only way that you get a team that has that bulletin board material, has momentum, is you tell your team they're coming in with bulletin board material. We have to prove them wrong. We have to prove that why whatever we did, whatever the reason was behind it, they think that we're just coming after them. So they're taking it personally. You take it personally as well, and we got to get physical. We got to get mean. We got to take it possession by possession, and we have to get the job done. We put too much time, effort, and money into the talent that we have here and resources that bowing out in the first round or even just winning a first-round matchup and not even making noise once you get to the second round and beyond, that's not enough anymore. We can't take baby steps. We're going to have to jump some mushrooms here if you're in Super Mario World. You're going to have to take some big leaps. you're actually going to show that this progression is going the way you want it to.
Is that all it is? Is just that had to do with them strictly looking at the first round matchups? Because I could argue that if you're serious about, you know, going far in the playoffs, it actually hurts you because now you have to play the Celtics in the second round. So, like, is that all they're – that's the message that they're kind of sending, is we're all in just to win one playoff series. Then after that, we'll see what comes our way.
There's no way for us to dispel that, because that's just what optics are. And, again, they can say all they want. You guys know me, what people say, what our team say in interviews and press conferences and stuff. I don't give a damn about that. I know, especially when it comes to the Browns, but it's just kind of overarching. I mean, the Guardians, they're not going to talk very much. They're going to talk when they have to, and they don't, nobody says anything in this town anyways. They say a lot of words without saying anything. But look, the after the All-Star break, guys, this team, like, it was not fun anymore. And the optic is that they were just trying to win one playoff series because they felt like that's all they had to do to prove everybody that was upset after last year that, oh yes, we're on the right track. Well, again, that's not enough. And they can say all they want that that's not what we're doing, whatever. Optics tell a much different story. If you think that those optics are false, go make some noise. And if you wanted to get the Magic in the first round because you felt like that was a good matchup to then maybe build momentum for yourself and then use that momentum springboarding forward against the Celtics, you better go prove it, because there's going to be a lot of questions. There's going to be a lot of questions that Dan Gilbert has to answer and has for his front office and coaching staff if they only get through the first round or they don't even get through the first round. There's going to be a lot of changes, and it's unfortunate because it did feel like we were on the right track, and all of a sudden, that series against the Knicks changed everything.
Sure. Yeah, it's hard to not think about that going into this offseason. But, you know, as we're moving into the postseason, the main goal of the regular season, regardless how it finished, is to make the playoffs. And they did that. And some people might argue they have, out of any team in the East, other than maybe, you know, some of the play-in teams, they have maybe the most favorable matchup in the first round playing the Magic. But as we know, we thought we were in a good spot last year against the Knicks. And, you know, we didn't know a ton about the Knicks roster and how they're constructed. We knew Brunson, but then we kind of came to hate Hart and Mitchell Robinson and Hardenstein. So we all know Banchero from the Magic. Give me a couple other guys that might be a nuisance to this Cavs team.
The Wagner brothers can be a nuisance because, I mean, we've seen them. I mean, the Cavs played pretty well against the Magic overall this season. And really, Banchero is their main scorer. They're gonna want to slow down the pace, guys. They're gonna want to have these, you know, maybe the highest point, the first team to 93-95 win, and they feel like they're gonna have the ability to stay within the series, stay within each game. The Cavs are gonna need to play that up tempo pace that they told us all about. We saw when they won 18 of 20 games just before the All-Star break, and guys just started coming back from injury. So I would say the Wagner brothers, because they can get physical down low. They can, you know, the rebounding is going to be a big test. That's where Jared Allen's going to have to, and the rest of the team's going to have to show that, yeah, he doesn't take issues that he said that the lights were too bright last year. Again, that's going to follow you until you change the narrative.
Sure.
These guys can, and they're always going to try to say the right thing. They're going to say that it doesn't affect them. It's going to affect you when there's plenty of comments coming, not just from Cleveland fans, but basketball fans and basketball analysts everywhere. If it looks the same as it did against the Knicks and you're doing this against the Magic. The other one to look out for is Isaac. I don't remember his full name, but this is a guy that has dealt with a lot of injuries, and he's a very young player still, but he is a defensive stalwart and can be maybe that Mitchell Robinson type, not in the same game sense, but that guy that's, you didn't know his name before, you may have heard his name, but you didn't know what his talent level was like, and now he comes out of nowhere, because you're going to hear about Banchero and Mo and Franz Wagner. Well, Isaac could be that Mitchell Robinson name that it's then like, oh, really don't like that guy, and every time you see him moving forward, it's like, oh god, this guy again, he's doing the same thing. Those are the types of names the Cavs are going to have to take care of. And look, the defensive stalwart for the Cavs is Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley has guarded Banchero in the matchups this season. I have a feeling that that's going to be one of his main roles in this series, is guarding Banchero. The key for Evan Mobley, we know he can play defense. If Banchero matches up on him on the other side, you have to make Banchero work. When he has no playoff experience, you make an offensive stalwart work on the defensive side, and they have no experience at that level. That takes and drains your energy, and it just causes this lack of, or this drain of confidence in your game on the other end, because you're mentally and physically tired. Now you can't lock in as much because you haven't experienced how to do that and how to condition your body throughout the year and in the offseason for these bigger moments under those quote-unquote bright lights.
Yeah, with the bright lights being last year, I don't know if they get much dimmer in the playoffs than two Saturday noon or 1 o'clock tip-offs in the first week, but we'll see.
Hey, can't go wrong with a Saturday matinee, Bri.
Oh, I don't like it.
Some day drinking, right?
No.
It's a blessing and a curse, though, guys, to be at 1 o'clock on a Saturday, because it's the first game, and if you're, you know, just like in the NFL playoffs, like whatever, I know the Browns got the first game, and that's seen as more of a highlight game than others. But look, if you're a real big basketball fan, and there's plenty of them, this game's on ESPN, and that's the game that most people are going to get. Like, you know, if you want playoff basketball and you want to get into that mode, you want to feel that energy, you get Cavs Magic. Now, that's probably not the, you know, not so enticing, but a basketball fan like myself, I know that regardless of how I saw the matchup from an unbiased situation, I'd want to tune in. So there's still going to be a decent amount of eyes on this game being the first one and like the only option until you get later in the day and later into these series where there might be some of that crossover a little similar to March Madness, but not quite to that extent.
Now, Big Bri was talking big men. I want to talk some guards with you,
guys. Yep.
All right. We got Donovan Mitchell, who's still dinged up. Darius Garland has been hot and cold, to say the best. But they're going to match up against one of the best defensive perimeter shutdown people in Jalen Suggs. He is probably going to be matched up with Donovan the entire night. I am 100% guessing. He is a nuisance. He is a very, very good defensive player. Who else can step up besides Donovan Mitchell to help this out, to take the break, you know, the back-breaking work off of him to get this team through this first round?
Well, this is where you're going to want to see Darius maybe step up. And I know that Darius has caught a lot of flack, and rightfully so, this season. I just think he hasn't ever been healthy. I'm not making excuses for him. You guys know I will never make excuses for anybody. I think just like we were talking about with Banchero, if Mobley can get him to start thinking instead of playing the game that he loves, I think Garland has just been thinking too much this year. He's too much in his head and like second guessing things and like, can I go to the hole? Am I going to get my face bashed in again? Like he's had that like for 2-3 years, I don't know. He's got like a magnet to his face, and somehow, you know, he's dealing with a jaw being wired shut and an eye being gouged out and different things like that. And I know that there has been some back trouble, more so an ankle down the stretch. I believe ESPN's Brian Windhorst mentioned something about an ankle for him. So explosiveness. Garland is going to have to step up, and I was going through Twitter. It was either Cam Justice or Tom Withers. I saw like a quote aggregated from practice to Garland that in practice they're bumping into each other, they're holding, they're grabbing, they're trying to simulate physicality as much as they can. Again, they can say that. How much of that are they actually doing? I don't know. And does that truly simulate what you're going to experience in the playoffs? It should, because they should know what it feels like to be pushed around. So they should know how to do that to their teammates after last year and after some of the games down the stretch. They should be well versed in how to push, being pushed around and maybe dishing that out to others. I think, though, guys, Max Strus, George Niang, this is when you have a. You have that guy that can lock someone down. I mean, we have Isaac Okoro, we have Evan Mobley that we feel like can be that type of defensive player on our side. Magic feel like Jalen Suggs and Isaac are going to be those two guys. And Jalen Suggs on Donovan Mitchell, in order to open up the lane and open up features, there's going to be help for Suggs all the time. Because, yeah, Suggs can be a great defender, but we've seen Mitchell – make great defenders look silly. We've seen great players make great defenders look silly. You have great defense, sometimes you tip your cap because it's better offense. Mitchell has that ability, but it's going to be those kickouts to the corner, to Strus, to the wing, to Niang, these shooters. Will they use Sam Merrill at all to stretch out the floor? Having that stretch ability, and guys, I know you've seen it, running the two centers, just it does not work for a 48-minute game. Mm-mm.
Don't you get Bri all excited over there?
No, I'm not getting excited. I'll get excited if they change philosophies in the offseason.
What's funny is you guys know, like, I'm not I don't like making predictions. I don't, especially like when it's involving my team. Like, I don't like making predictions. It's just like this superstition, this weird aura feeling type thing for me. But I really don't like to tout myself either, but on our show on Voice of Land with APJ, you know, we started talking about just like, what is it going to look like when Garland and Mobley come back? And I started saying, well, these guys aren't bench players, and I already know that you can't bring them off the bench. They're going to start. But I started saying, like, you probably, as the game goes on, you probably need to have Mitchell with Allen or Mobley, and then vice versa, Garland with Allen or Mobley, like staggering those types of things. That actually started to happen when they came back. It looked okay, and then they kind of got away from it because other injuries started happening, and they just had to go so many different directions with who was out there each and every single night, and the weird schedule of playing in Paris in January, and then you know, having to have your back end of your season so backloaded with back-to-backs, and then guys come off injuries, they couldn't play both nights, and so when you didn't get one game, then you're missing your whole roster, and you don't get both, so you lose out on both of the back-to-backs. There's no back-to-backs in the playoffs. You're going to have a couple days in between when you have to travel. You at least have one when you're at home. So maybe getting back to that staggering type element, it's just they're going to have to utilize the shooters and create space for Mitchell, create space for Garland. And, you know, with Mobley and Allen not being able to shoot from the outside, not being one of those bigs that can shoot from the outside, they're just going to have to be active, always moving, always going after it, trying to get the loose ball, trying to get the offensive rebounds. Learn from Tristan Thompson, not what you're putting in your body, but
whoa.
If you could get away with it, Kevin, I don't know.
I know, but and I don't mean to take shots at anybody, but I feel like that was a detriment to this team because, yeah, he could be around to a certain extent, but he wasn't able to be there during games when they were being out tough and stuff. That's the type of leader that knows how to be tough, how to be physical. He's gone through the rigors of the NBA playoffs and making it all the way to the end and having to play game seven of the finals. Like that was what he was brought in for, was to bring that experience, whether it was being able to be on the floor or being vocal from the bench. He wasn't around for those 25 games. And I started to see a shift in mentality or lack of physicality and intensity and taking every game as important as it should be.
And by the way, that poppy seed bagel got in that bloodstream. Let me tell you, that's what it was. It's the poppy seed bagel.
That's right. Sure.
Every time.
Seinfeld episode about that.
I didn't know that was in my vitamins. I had no idea. Yeah. All right, so I got two quick questions, and then I'm going to send it over to Bri. So first off, our friend from across the Cavs, Zach Weiss, you know him, you've talked to him before. Yep. He wants to know about Max Strus and how Max Strus is quickly going to match up with this matchup, especially with the playoff experience he has. And then also we have Talkin' and Grub Media said they have a question. Do you think some Cavs fans are rooting for the Cavs to lose so they can fire JB Bickerstaff and blow the team up? So there's two really hard questions right there.
Let me take the Max Strus side first, and then I'll, you know, maybe let the thoughts on the other, because they're flying around on that second question. So with Max Strus, I know, and many plenty of players on the team have said, like, that's a guy that doesn't take crap from anybody. And you know what word I'd rather say than crap?
Like, you can say it on this show. I'll say it for you. Shit. He doesn't take shit from anybody.
You know me. I still don't do it. But he doesn't take crap from anybody. And he was pissed. Like, you know, it was at least a problem with how that last game was approached when guys like Max Strus, who came from Heat culture, as much as people want to make fun of Heat culture, it actually means something. And they went to the finals last year as a play-in 8 seed. They got the 8 seed through the play-in tournament, then went all the way to the NBA finals. There is a reason for it, and a lot has to do with Heat culture, which breaks down into so many different facets. We don't have time to get into that. So Max Strus is going to have to, I think, show a little bit more now that he's back. He's got his legs under him back from injury. He needs to show and tell. When moments get tough, we know moments in the playoffs are going to get tough. We're sitting on the edge of our seats. There's nothing we can do as fans. Like, the Magic go on an 8-0 run. The Cavs go down 2. Then we think, like, oh, my gosh, like, this game's, like, all over based on what we saw last year. It's those types of moments where every team in the NBA and in basketball are going to make runs. But when run happens in a playoff game and every possession matters, it feels like the weight of the world is just coming down on you. it's going to take a guy like Max Strus to say in huddles, get in, you know, stop JB from whatever he's saying, get in the ear of his teammates, because I know that they respect him, and say, look, this happens in every game. Every team makes runs. We can't start thinking that this is where everything unravels like it did last year. This isn't the same team as last year. I was brought here. George was brought here to change things. Yeah, we didn't finish the season the right way. This is a whole different season. What we've just done, people can forget about if we win this game and we win this series. Every team is going to make a run. Let's go make ours right now. Let's go get a bucket, tie the game, build a little confidence, and go. It takes moments like that from a guy like Max Strus. And it takes maybe when he comes out of the huddle, if he says those things, then knocks down a big three or a big shot, ties the game up, take the lead right back. Oh, shoot. Like, that dude knows what he's talking about, and he's taking care of it on the court. We respect, we love this dude. We better have his back too, because now guys are gunning for him, knowing that he's hot from the outside. So I think that's where a guy like Max Strus can impact this with that no bull crap mentality. He needs to say a lot of those words that I won't say even on this show, but you guys know I've said them to you in the past. Like that, I'm getting like the goosebumps thinking, like, as that type of player, getting the juices flowing.
And, you know, some, I don't know how you could do it on ESPN Cleveland and not do it. Just drop one of those, just one random one. I'm like, I don't need to talk about this shit.
That's my teacher background. You know, like when I was in,
there you go.
Becoming a teacher, and I was in the classroom, I was subbing, I was doing my student teaching. I don't know. I was just able to turn it off and then, you know, get back with my buddies and turn it back on. And I know that there's a main job that I have that is regulated by the FCC. So I better just stay in practice because, you know,
you
never know when that time's going to come that I'm going to be in front of that microphone there. And as long as those habits are there, I practice good habits. Cavs do not have such good habits down the stretch, and they're going to need to quickly change those around. In terms of the second question.
Now, just quickly hit it, because I don't think Cavs fans are rooting for it. But
there's going to be a couple.
There's going to be some. I honestly think what it is they realize that if he loses this round with Orlando Magic, he's gone. Yes. There's just no, and I believe, and Bri's been saying it for the past few episodes, Kobe Altman might be out the door with him.
Yeah, I've never been the type of guy that, you know, calls for someone's job or anything, because, you know, I know it's part of the business, and if there are people that are going to do that, that's totally fine. I'm not here to say that don't do it. I know that there's, like, to me, when I hear Brown's Twitter, it's not, to me, that's not us and, like, our group of people that can at least talk realistically and then, like, have that fan reaction, but then take a step back, think about it realistically.
And actually understand what we're talking about.
Yes, and we may disagree, but then we understand why the person thinks the way that they do. We don't have to convince the other person. When I hear Brown's Twitter, I think of the people that are either like, JB's got to stay. JB's the worst ever. Like, he's got to go. Like, that guy shouldn't have had a job from the beginning. Like, there's nothing you can tell them, nothing you can show them. Like, they just have their mind made up. They just want to hate. Unfortunately, people like that. So to that part of the question, I would say that there are some, like Bryce said. I don't think that the Cavs fans like us, the real Cavs fans like us, are rooting for the Cavs to lose so that we lose JB. We just know that his job is on the line. He is coaching for his job because it's the nature of the business. It's what happened to Mark Jackson in Golden State. As good as he got, that big three that they drafted, they developed in their own organization, he could only take them so far. Is that the same thing with JB? And is there another voice that can take it a step further? But if they lose this first round, JB is not going to be the only move that's made or the only piece that is, you know, looked at as being gone. Like, this big four may not be that same grouping of names, the same players the next season, because everything has to be on the table. If you lose in the first round for a second straight year, you don't learn your lessons. You ask for the magic, you get the magic, and you don't take care of business because you like you thought you could.
Yeah, I mean, for me, for sure, last year, I'm sure a ton of Cavs fans feel the same way. I struggle with expectations, and because of what happened in the playoffs last year. I mean, last year it was like, all right, win first round series, we'll be happy. And when we had LeBron, it's like, win a championship, that's our goal. Season is not a successful postseason if we don't win a championship. So I struggle with what to you would be a successful playoff run for the Cavs. Is it winning a first round series? Is it sweeping the first round? Is it making it to game six of the Eastern Conference Finals? Like, exactly what would, at the end of this, when the Cavs run is over, would you look back and say that was a success?
So at the beginning of the year, and even as they started to go on that run, you started to think, like, what JB was talking about, this fast paced offense, you know, that, you know, they focused so much on that in training camp, and they lost sight of their defensive principles for the first part of the season. And then they picked it up. They found a way to mold the offense and still maintain that defense, that gritty mentality that JB brought from the beginning, when we were being out talented at the end of games because we just didn't have that, but you weren't going to outwork the Cavaliers under JB Bickerstaff defensively, 50-50 balls, floor burns, all of that kind of stuff. In, you know, that wasn't going to beginning of the season, I would have said, you know, we need to be pushing for the Eastern Conference Finals and like giving that a real push to the finals type element. Right now, my expectations have lowered. I will start considering this season a success if you get to like game seven of the second round and you're playing the Boston Celtics, who everybody thinks is an absolute lock to win the East. Like, you push them to a game seven where anything can happen, and they're on their home court, their fake parquet floor, which is not the real parquet floor of the old Boston Celtics floor. You know, I would start to consider it a success if we see that. And we see in the first and the second round, the reason why they get to that point is because they are sticking to those defensive principles. They are, for the most part, outworking their opponent. Just at the end, they're just, you know, that big shot that comes from, or that last possession is in the hands of the opponents, and you have good defense but better offense. Those types of moments, like, you have to allow the picture to tell you the story and make your decisions from that. Right now, everybody's thinking that, you know, success should be probably something outlandish, or they're thinking that no success can actually be deemed from this season. Let's see what they have. They've had a week off. They'll have a week off by the time that they play on Saturday. You know, let's see if that mindset totally shifted. And now that they're able to focus on what they knew everybody would be talking about and could only think about all season, how would they perform in the playoffs? If this is their time and something mentally just clicks, I don't think they can flip a switch, but if something mentally just clicks amongst all of them, you know, game seven of a second round against a juggernaut like the Celtics, I would start to consider a success, but I might have to come back on here once the season is over, and I'll tell you what I thought after, because these playoffs are going to tell a lot about this team and where this team goes from here.
Sure. Got to see it happen first. The last thing I got for you is just kind of a crazy hypothetical, and I think I know. Well, I don't know. It could be a stupid question, but we thank you for your time. Before I get to this, for everything that you got going on at home, thanks for coming on. I was just thinking today, watching some highlights, would you, if you were NBA GM for the Cavs, would you trade Garland, Allen, and Mobley for Joel Embiid?
I mean, does that guarantee that Mitchell resigns?
Yeah, assuming Mitchell is back. Yeah, and I know there's a lot of different angles to it with his health. And to me, it's a no-brainer. So I almost feel like maybe I'm an idiot for even asking the question, but I think absolutely you do it. But I everyone has their own opinion. So I was maybe you guys are different from me.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had a problem with going with my first instinct. I mean, that's why I didn't do well on standardized tests. It feels weird touting myself, but I was very intelligent, very smart in school. I did well in school. But when it came to standardized tests, that, yeah, you had, like, the books you could buy to prep and all that stuff. But, like, not everybody does, you know, it doesn't fully prepare you for those tests. It's just the way that they word things, all those types of things. Test anxiety, like, I never went, like, I always struggled to go with my first instinct. And then I get results back, and I'm like, why did I not do that? I'm going to go with my first instinct here. And it could be wrong, and everybody that's in the comments and you guys could disagree. That's the beauty of these sports conversations.
Sure.
I would not do that because of the injury history of Joel Embiid. And now you've taken three pieces away that maybe are just struggling this season, and they go have success elsewhere. Like, those are things you have to think about, and all these hypotheticals that we're talking about. Like, outside of Allen, there's three pieces in that deal that have injury concerns. Now, I mean, I trust our Cleveland Clinic staff to get our guys right. And maybe that would help Joel Embiid, just like it did for Zadrunas when he was having those foot problems and was able to have a pretty successful and longstanding career down the stretch. And, of course, helped have LeBron alongside you and go to Miami with him as well. But just the impact that you would need Embiid to have alongside Mitchell, and the gap of points and production. Embiid's capable of doing that, but if he's not available to you, are you in a situation like Philly was this year? Now, they've gotten themselves in the playoffs. They won by a point. They're in. They're the seven seed, and I'm sure they're going to give the Knicks trouble at the two seed. Like, that's going to be a pretty good matchup to see. It's going to be one of those tougher 2-7s you ever see. It's just that injury history, like, our staff knows the players that we have. So their injuries, they know how to take care of those guys. Now we're bringing in an unknown, and will he be available to you? He's going to have a lot of production. I'd be hesitant to do that unless it was like two pieces and a draft pick, or like a secondary third tier piece that you had to add in there that you have on your bench, like assets that have shown their productivity this season. I'd be interested in that. Taking away all of the big four and leaving one to then bring in an injury-prone Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pull the trigger, and that's probably wrong of me. I love Joel Embiid's game. Best ability is availability.
I applaud your perspective, because a lot of Cavs fans are ready to shovel dirt on this version of the big four. But that being said, Jared, you got to break the tie now.
I would do it. It's Joel Embiid. He's an MVP. Like, that's my only, because these guys are still unproven still. Like, we still don't know what Mobley is going to be. Garland has been kind of up and down. Jared Allen, we know, can, even though I saw him, Bright, I saw the man make a 15 footer. So I got shocked as shit when I saw him make that. But, like, there's only certain aspects of their game when you have a figure like Joel Embiid that's got all the aspects of the game. And I watched that playoff game last night, Bri. Holy hell. He didn't even have to score as many points. Just him in the lineup changes an entire game. It really does. It's amazing to watch. Like, just his passing, like, he had like 8 assists. He led the team in assists last night. Plus they had, who was the other guy that went off on 3-pointers last night, Kev? He's been in the league for like 16 years.
Watch it. You know, things were starting to. The reason why we're in the state that we are here in the house today.
But no, I would honestly trade for Embiid. I mean, at that point in time, you would have to, because if Donovan Mitchell is going to be here, you get Embiid in. I think that would be the top two. And then all you would need is another guy to kick out to make 3-pointers. And you could, whether it be Sam Merrill, Max Strus, you know, let's go get Kyle Korver again. He's somewhere around here and still can make threes, right? So I,
sure.
You know, that's kind of where I'm at. Now, Kev, now I did, before we get you off here, because I know you got to run, I did see a little glimmer of, are you doing a podcast with Dre Knott?
I am.
I am so damn jealous. You got to tell Dre that we got to get him on here to talk some food at ballparks with us.
I will definitely mention it to him because he came on VTL recently as well. And, you know, it was another one of those nights where I had to do the show from here instead of the studios that Peter has set up for us, our producer, who's done an amazing job for us and what we do and just high school sports and crunch coverage.
Hey, he did our melt for mutts at the Melt and Independence, and can't thank him enough. Like he does amazing work.
The professional level production that he brings with what looks like, you know, not is beyond me, and I can't thank him enough. Be thanking him for the rest of my life. You know, our time that we get to do this kind of stuff together. But Dre came on and. For some reason, you know, we were in StreamYard and the sound just crapped out on us. Like the whole show, the whole time we had Dre on, he had this great insight. We could hear him, but nobody watching could. So I'll mention it to him. We're doing Dre in the Dugout, for the Land Under Man, which of course is the streaming, version, the subscription service of ESPN Cleveland, Good Karma Brands, ESPN Cleveland, our market. Yes, it is behind the subscription, but if you have it, there are great stories that he tells about the different ballparks. There are great stories about the players, and that's kind of what makes baseball different. You're playing so many games and so many days in a row. You know, it's so easy to criticize players like that when it's a very hard sport to play, and when you're an offensive minded or, you know, you consider a great hitter. You're connecting 30% of the time, 31-32% of the time. Yeah. Like if you were shooting in a basketball at that percentage, you wouldn't even make it to the NBA. I'm sorry. Like you're shooting threes, you're considered. You're shooting overall 30%. You're not even considered to make
it. Hold on. Unless you're Shaquille O'Neal and
yes. You
know, there's stipulations. If you're 7'6", you're allowed to miss free throws.
Well, yeah, I mean, free throws are one thing, but like I'm talking like overall, because that dude's the scoring percentage inside the paint, like there was just no stopping him. So you're gonna take those twos over missing, you know, like a single point here or a couple points there at the free throw line. You know, he's gonna come down and dominate and get like six straight buckets because no one can guard the beast that was Shaquille O'Neal. So. For baseball, it is so important to learn about the players behind, you know, behind the helmet, behind the glove, and it like that's those kind of connections in baseball that you love, and that's what Dre gets. We call it Dre in the Dugout because, you know, he basically gets to sit with them in the dugout and beyond. Now, it wouldn't have made sense to say Dre in the clubhouse because, you know, Dre
Play on words. We got it.
Play on words. But the whole point is we're going inside the dugout and beyond. And it's been an absolute thrill. I think we're supposed to record tomorrow. Hopefully his voice is doing better. Record tomorrow. Mother-in-law is going to come and watch Lincoln. And I'll be back at work. So try to get that episode in and get episode 4 up and running for everybody that does tune in. We appreciate all the love to it that we've already seen.
All right, bud. Let them know where you find you at, bud.
Yeah, I mean, on X/Twitter. I mean, I call it Twitter. You guys still call it Twitter, by the way?
We still call it Twitter.
Because, I mean, we type in on the actual computer, Twitter.com, and it like they still have that domain name.
Yeah.
So, on Twitter, at Kevin7, my name is spelled with an A, so I spelled 7 with an A as well. It wasn't my doing when I went to Ohio Media School. Some buddies helped me out with that, and it just stuck, so I just kept going with it. Yes, my name is Kevin Earl. No, I was not named after the Wonder Years. You can find Drain the Dugout on the Land on Demand. You can find Voice of the Land on the Big Play Network. Just follow us at VTL_pod. We'll always go live there, Facebook, YouTube, and then everything's reposted on all your audio platforms, those social media platforms. Ohio Media School has their podcast network, Beyond Air Podcast Network. You can get it there. And then, you know, there'll be times I probably fill in on ESPN Cleveland. I've done a 1 a.m. show. I've done a 1 p.m. show. One for football playoffs, one for Final Four coverage. So just trying to earn and work my ass off for opportunities. And I appreciate all the support you guys show all the time. I try to give it back as best as I can.
Oh, bud, we love you. You know that.
Yeah, we definitely need to reconnect a little bit more. But, you know, we're going to get through this. Jan and I are going to get through this first year 1 year birthday coming up on May 1st. So we got birthdays kind of one up here, one party down with her family, sandwiched over top of that. So once you kind of get through that, we'll definitely reconnect, guys.
Brian, that's kind of close to your due date too, isn't it?
Yeah. We don't need to be thinking about the first year and kids getting sick and everything right now. I'm enjoying the last few weeks here.
Attaboy. There you go. All right. So for all of you that don't know, Kev, ESPN Cleveland, everything else. By the way, Kev does not do predictions. So I'm going to do a prediction for Kev before he gets off here. Okay. He's going to go Cavs in six. Going to be tough and gritty, and we're just going to go with that so you don't have to hang your hat out there and I don't have to force you to actually say something.
I appreciate that. I'm going to leave my hat on my head and I'm going to remind everybody, we do have a champion here in Cleveland. Championships don't
even grin
here in Cleveland. The Cleveland Crunch, I am the play-by-play voice for it. Absolutely honored and privileged to do that because it's the team, the ticket we could afford as a family growing up, and to have that back and be the voice of it when they're at home. And to see them win another championship, their fifth overall, their second since being back. And guys that I actually played soccer with and owners that I played soccer with. It means that much more. And hopefully people get a chance to check them out next season and trying to get maybe a bigger facility down the line. I'm not making any guarantees or not breaking any news. I just know that that's always the goal. And we hope that we can do that so that more people can come and enjoy such a great family atmosphere and high intense fun action on the pitch.
All right, Kev, I can't thank you enough, buddy. I'll give you a call after this. I hope you have a great night. Take care, Link. All right.
Well, all right. So that's where I'm going right now.
All right. Have a great night, brother. Thank you so much.
You too.
Appreciate you. Bye. Later.
That was Kevin Arnold from ESPN Cleveland, from Voice of Land, from Big Play, from Cleveland Crunch. Man, tell you what, some great insight about the Cavs matchup against the Orlando Magic. Love talking basketball, Kev, because he's so in-depth. He is so spot on with some of his stuff, even though he would not trade for Joel Embiid, which, you know, I'm sorry, we're going to have to get into that. But it was just nice having Kevin Lynn talk to him again. We haven't seen him in a little bit because of Link and new job and everything else, and he's doing great. Kind of jealous he's doing a, you know, baseball podcast with Dre Knott, though. That's awesome, isn't it, Brian?
Sure. Learn a lot from Andre, for sure.
I just want
to talk. A lot of insight.
I just want to talk baseball foods with him. I could care less about me. He's been to every ballpark in America. I just want to know.
Does he go to the concession stands, though? Or is he getting, like, what the team gets backstage? No.
He's got to.
I bet he just gets like the spread that the team gets in the locker room.
You know that Tom Hamilton leaves in like the fourth inning to go get a hot dog and then come back up. We all know that.
He's going to the build your own nachos. You're insane.
Oh God, don't you start with me. I can have dreams, Bri.
I would, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
All right, so special show announcement for next week. Brian and I are going to be doing the NFL draft on a Friday. We will let you know what time it will be. So we will not be live on Thursday. It will be a Friday. We'll put the time out on our socials to let you know about that. We'll dive into the guards real quick here, Brian. Guards just beat Boston. They have one of the best records in the MLB right now. We did have the Stankies in here in Cleveland. But they're going to have a matchup again with the A's coming to Cleveland and Boston coming up this weekend. Bri, are you kind of surprised that the Guardians have gotten off to this kind of start?
Oh, absolutely. Pleasantly surprised. I tried to set my expectations low and just not knowing, how this team would react without Terry Francona. And, then faced with major adversity with Bieber going down. And, I thought I heard maybe some whisperings right before we came on about Tristan McKenzie. Maybe, powering through and not getting Tommy John surgery, like maybe some people suggest he should. And
yeah, I heard that.
That
too.
Doesn't sound good.
What's he got, like a partially torn UCLA or UCLA? UCL.
You did it.
I did it.
You did it.
Partially torn UCL. I heard that news too. And I'm surprised he's trying to pitch through it. But he missed most of last year too, Brian.
He missed pretty much all of last year.
Yeah, he did. He did.
That's a bummer. But if you keep winning, man, it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe me being, I'm different as a sports fan, but I can kind of, whether I'm high or whether I'm low on a team, I can kind of take it for what it is. Like the Cavs, you know, as low as I've been on them for a month, 2 months, we're in the playoffs now. I'm so excited. I'm so pumped to watch them, even if it's against the Magic and, you know, a team that maybe might not be the toughest competition. But if we go out and sweep them five games, whatever, I'm pumped. I'm excited. Same thing goes with the Indians or the Guardians. You know, you just keep winning. That's all you can do. I don't have to worry about Shane Bieber and McKenzie's health and this and that. You just keep winning, keep hitting the ball the way they have been, and it'll be a fun season.
Now, I do have to say, not today. They won today. They beat the Boston Red Sox 5-4 today. But yesterday, Bri, it took an hour and 49 minutes for that game to be over with. And the Boston Red Sox got a shutout. Starting pitcher, 9 strikeouts. Just they could not figure that guy out. But I can't believe they had a game in an hour and 49 minutes, Bri. That is unreal.
Wild.
All right. So, Justin, now this we are bringing up at some point in time because I saved the website. What does Bri think about a corn dog being a calzone? All right, now, Bri, he sent me a link, and there it's called the cube effect. All right, I'm using air quotes, the cube effect.
Okay.
How they decide what is sandwich, toast, taco, calzones, things of that nature. We will go through that. It probably won't be next week because we're going to be really hot on the Browns, but I have it saved. We'll probably do it the week after. But, Bri, what do you think a corn dog is a calzone?
Of course, I don't think a corn dog is a calzone. See?
Right? I told him that too, and he's like, "Ah."
What's more crazy? A corn dog being a calzone or a ketchup being a jelly?
Technically, ketchup is a jelly.
Ketchup is not a jelly. Get out!
You
of here.
Stop it! Over.
All right, we know what your answer is. I mean,
It's
maybe
it's,
in a crazy world you could have a hot dog calzone instead of stuffing it with pepperoni and sausage and all that. So you stuff it with hot dog and okay, that's a hot dog calzone or whatever you want to call it. But a corn dog, you mean a cow? No. Where do you draw the line? Like I said last week, is it a cream stick? Is a corn dog a cream stick?
Here he comes with it, and the hot dog is technically a taco. And here he comes back.
I'd listen to that more than a calzone.
That's true. Well, Bri, you ready for surprise number three?
It's time for Fat Boy Thursday.
Welcome to Fat Boy Thursday, Bri. Wow. What'd you think of that, buddy?
No, that was giving me like Sports Center from the mid-2000 vibes where they lead into it there.
Just wait till our top three. That'll definitely give you Sports Center vibes.
Oh, boy.
All right. So Fat Boy Thursday, we are talking destination foods, Bri. And I started thinking throughout the time, like we've talked about going to like different places for barbecue, talking about, you know, going to Las Vegas for the buffets and things of that nature. Bri, give me some cities that you would like to travel to just for the food.
Yeah, the first one that came to mind was Kansas City because of the barbecue out there being notorious for it. But then, you know, when thinking of cities that I want to go to, I don't necessarily think of like the landscape of the restaurants and everything all together. I just think of like what certain cities are known for, the one dish certain cities are known for, like the Chicago deep dish pizza.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just think of that one dish for that one city. So I was thinking maybe off the grid here, like Detroit-style pizza. I'm a big fan of New York-style pizza. Obviously, you can't go wrong. You can eat a bunch more of that than Detroit. Cincinnati, I know Skyline Chili gets a bad rap sometimes, but I'm here for it. I don't know if you heard, did you hear the Kelce story today about
actually losing his
ring in there?
The episode. So yeah, I saw it with the Skyline Chili swimming pool and everything else, and he lost the Super Bowl ring in the chili.
I don't know if I'll ever eat Skyline Chili again. He was saying they took like metal detectors through there to try to find it, but the metal detectors are just going crazy because the chili itself has traces of iron in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to have iron.
That's gross. I don't know. I don't want to be eating metallic chili here.
It's not metallic. That most beef has iron in it, Bri.
I don't know. And you're probably right, but just hearing that kind of turned me off to the Skyline Chili. I'm sure I'll eat it again. You know, get three beers in. I don't care. Give me some Skyline Chili. Load it up with cheese and onions. Now, would you go three-way, four-way, or five-way?
Give me the five-way.
I knew you would do that.
I just make it a mess. Bri, sorry, bud. That's how it rolls here.
I don't hate you for it. You're being yourself. I would go four-way. I think that's without beans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I do cheese and
so Justin's coming in hot over here with pasta does not go in chili. And now I'm starting to bring out stipulations because if you think about it,
I would agree with him, by the way.
Hold on. A meat sauce is technically chili.
Meat sauce is Tony sauce. If you call Tony sauce chili, yeah, just going back to last week. But get back to the only other city I had written down is one, you know, maybe people might not think of, but Nashville. Nashville hot chicken.
Yes.
I didn't think just about in the Nashville. Last just in the last 5 years or something, it seems like it's just exploded onto the scene, and I'm a big fan. You know, I love the city and I love the chicken.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about Nashville. Like for me, Bri, I would have to do Miami, because of like the Cuban influence and like the Bri, anywhere we can get like fresh fish like off the boat that day, I'd be excited about. I would definitely have to go to Boston for some crab cakes, little crab cake guys over there. Definitely Texas, anywhere in Texas for a steak.
That's what I was thinking too, right?
But you don't eat steak.
I know, but I was thinking barbecue. There's Austin? Is it Austin, Texas, where they have that one dude who, what the hell's his name? Who has this unbelievable barbecue set up, and the people wait in line for 3 hours and they sell out by like 11 o'clock in the morning. Then he just shuts it down for the whole day. I forget his name, but I think that's around Austin, Dallas, something. I don't know.
Another one I'd have to hit up, Bri, and I really don't want to go to California, but if I did, I would love to go to San Diego. And just get like the fresh Mexican food that's there, like especially with the culture right there. The tacos, from what I've heard from Nick Paulus, the tacos there are like the best tacos you can get anywhere. And I've got to try. And Brian, here in the Midwest, but I got to go get me some cheese curds up there in Wisconsin.
Sure. Nice. Absolutely. I don't forget about those.
What about some Colorado Rocky Mountain oysters? No.
When you said Colorado, that's where my mind went, and I didn't know if you were going to go through with it. And well done.
Like if you had if you had to pick one right now off the top of your head that you had to go to, that you want to go to tomorrow to go eat at, which one are you going?
If I'm doing what I said, I'm thinking one dish for one city, I have to have that. It would probably be New York, just the New York style pizza.
Okay. I'm going the other way. I have never had a true, authentic, deep dish Chicago pizza, and I would love to try the deep dish Chicago
pizza. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bri, we're so close. We have technically New York style pizza here in Cleveland. I mean, it's not true New York, but there's places
we're in between.
We
got the thicker crust, but not quite Chicago style.
Yeah, but I've never had like a true, like, you know, when they layer it with cheese, everything else, and it comes out looking like lasagna. I've never had one of those, and I want to try it so bad. Yeah.
Go to my wife likes it. We'll order it maybe once or twice a year. East of Chicago has a Chicago style pizza. It's not the real thing.
But I like, I want like the one dive you walk into in Chicago that everybody's waiting like 6 hours to sit at a table by themselves, just eat the pizza.
Yeah. Lou Malnati's and Giordano's are the two staples. And I'd say I'm more Giordano's because it's more like when you think, like you said, when you think of typical Chicago style pizza, that's Giordano's. But some people will go on a hill for Lou Malnati's. And I got it one time and I brought it all the way back to Cleveland. I heated it up when I got back here. I could only eat two pieces, maybe three, but I'd be hurting after three pieces. So.
Is that thick?
Oh, I'm telling you, it's just so much cheese and it's so thick and the breading is thicker. I mean, if you've seen how they're made, it's crazy. Oh, yeah. Like you look at it, you're like, how would that be good? They just pile tons of cheese and tons of sauce on it, and it's just, yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, Bri, yeah, I might have to get pizza tonight.
It'd be too late.
No, it's never too late for pizza, Bri. There's places open after midnight. You know that.
Oh yeah.
All right. So, Bri, let's get into our top three. That was Fatboy Tuesday with Destinations. Thank you for humoring me with that one, buddy.
Yeah.
Bri, here it comes. SportsCenter 2000. I see you over there giggling. What'd you think?
Oh, I feel like I'm in the IMAX. I'm ready for the show now after watching that.
See, right? One of our buddies hooked us up. Can't thank him enough for all those new intros. He did our main intro and then all the ones beside it. So thank you, Randy. I appreciate it. Bri, top three most annoying fan bases.
Yep.
All right. Do you want me to go first? Or do you want to go first?
Yeah, you go ahead.
All right. So number three for me, Bri, is Dallas Cowboys fans. I cannot stand Cowboys fans. When was the last time they won a championship, Bri?
94, 95.
And they think that they walk on God's green earth and they're above everybody else in the NFL and they haven't done shit in so long. And just sit there, come out with your little star on your helmet and your little star patches. Well, hey, guess what? Glad you made it to the first round, got your ass kicked. All right, that's what they normally do. All right, so number three for me, Dallas Cowboys fans. Number two, Bri, New York Yankees. We had the Yankees here in Cleveland. Man, Stanky fans are horrible. They're obnoxious. They're rude. And it's just not fun anymore. I can't be around a Yankees fan. And then finally, number three for me, Bri, and it's actually comforting now knowing that they're absolutely horrible, Golden State fans. We've dealt with Golden State fans for four effing years here in Cleveland. And now watching the shell of the former Big Three in Golden State, I'm loving every minute of, oh, Klay Thompson went 0-for-10. Oh, good. Good. Should have done that about 10 years ago, asshole. And that's where I'm at with my top three.
Yeah. Okay, I like it. And I'm with you wherever you left off. I'll pick it right back up with Golden State as my number three. And I feel like this one's going to fizzle maybe a little bit, kind of like Denver Broncos. I mean, there's still people that hate the Broncos that remember those games back in the 80s, but the newer Browns fans don't have a ton of hate for the Broncos. So I kind of feel that's how I'll be with Golden State. But yeah, they're just – they think they're better than everyone. They've had a recent run of success, but other than that, they've sucked for a long time. And everyone's, you know, only been a Golden State Warrior fan for the last 6-7 years. You know, they're just such front runners. So they're my number three, my top two. If you know me, you could probably guess. Baltimore Ravens, number two. Mm-hmm. And then, as you can guess, the next one, you know, they'll always be number one, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, unless they go, you know, if they're the drugs of the league for 30 years, maybe I'll stop hating them as much as I do. But as right now, there's no end in sight. I have infinite amount of hate for the Steelers.
I love it, Bri. That was,
and now they have Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Oh man, I can only imagine where this hate is going to go.
Good God, I can only imagine. Like, and the bad thing is though, is like the one thing that pisses me off about the Steelers is like every year that you think they're going to be down, magically they get into the playoffs. Right. Magically,
they suck last year.
The Shamrocks come out their ass and they're in the playoff game. It's like, how does this happen? They got baby hands Kenny Pickett. They got a wide receiver that hates everybody. And then they got an old wide receiver that's just shown his junk in a car on a freaking TikTok video.
It's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming.
I hope it comes soon.
And Fields and Wilson are Hail Marys. They might work out. They might. But at this point, they're a desperation move. And I'm not saying there are bad moves for them. Clearly they had to move on from Kenny Pickett. I told you that a long time ago. So they're just throwing up Hail Marys until they can suck bad enough to draft a good quarterback. So maybe it'll work out for them. Right now they've been in purgatory for a very long time. So if they win 8 to 10 games every year and get bounced in the first round of the playoffs, that's probably a good spot for them to be. I enjoy it.
Just once, I want to see them do like a 2-15. Just one time. Just feel our pain. Just feel our pain for a while. That's all I want.
They would be like the Golden State Warriors fans for the first 50 years of their franchise. Exactly. They would disappear. They would absolutely disappear. You wouldn't hear a word from them. I told you this past year, I had a kid down the street who's a big – and I'm not going to hate on him too much. He's 15 years old or whatever. He's a Steelers fan wearing a Steelers jersey, and he had a bag on his head.
Oh, like, perfect.
You don't even know.
You have no idea.
His team was like 4-5 at the time, and he's got a bag on his head. And I'm like, give me a break, kid. You don't know heartache. You've been entitled. You've been spoiled.
You never had DeSean Kizer and Hugh Jackson.
I couldn't believe it. I wanted to go off on him, but knowing he's a 15-year-old kid, I just kind of kept myself. But
hey, you should rip that bag off his head and be like, grow up. Grow up. You don't know pain.
Are you kidding me? But hey, the fact that I saw one in my lifetime, I think it's hilarious.
Now, before we get into the final thing of trivia, Bright, now, I had it on here. Did you watch the Houston Rockets game? And I cannot pronounce the center's name because he is either Russian or Lithuanian or something of that nature. Bry, missing two free throws to get the whole stadium Chick-fil-A.
Mm-mm. What happened?
Bry, you're going to have to look it up. It's absolutely perfect.
On purpose, he missed two?
So I don't know if it was on purpose, but they have a rule. Like, you know how we always get, like, if the Cavs score 100 points, you get a free Big Mac from McDonald's.
Right.
This was kind of like their promotion that if somebody missed two free throws in a game, that they would get free Chick-fil-A the next day. So the center goes up to shoot it, misses the first one, and you hear the whole crowd absolutely start going nuts. All right. And it's like he's playing to the crowd, like, oh, yeah, come on. And then he misses the second one so horribly, and everybody got free Chick-fil-A. The only thing that sucks about that is the next day it was Sunday, and they were closed.
Oh, boy.
I had to wait till Monday, Bri.
Take one for the team. I like it.
Yeah, you're going to have to look up that video after we get off here. It was I laughed so hard, Brian. I'm like, I would have missed it too.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, Brian. So our trivia, which is brought to you by City Dogs. Nick Weary will be here in Cleveland. Cannot wait to talk to Nick in person. I've been waiting on this. We tried to go to Buffalo and see him in Buffalo for the wing eating contest, but he's going to be here eating hot dogs. Bri, last year in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest on July 4th, there in beautiful, what is it, New Jersey? I think it's New Jersey on the boardwalk, right?
Coney Island, isn't it? I don't know. Is that New York, New Jersey?
I have no clue. Somewhere over there. How many hot dogs did he actually put down, Bri?
Well, I settled on the number 38.
Oh, Bri, you were way under.
Really?
He ended up in fourth place with 46 hot dogs.
Wow.
Your winner was Joey Chestnut at 62. Second was Jeffrey Esper at 49. James Webb came in third at 47. And Nick Weary was fourth with 46.
Where's Badlands? Badlands Booker. Is he still doing it?
He just does lemonade chugs now, I think. And by the way, I cannot beat that man in a chugging contest. He's chugging
not. He's gallons, the world's best.
Gallons of lemonade, just chugging it. Like how?
Question is, could he do the same with beer? That's what I really want to know.
Ooh.
Like, remember the guy from the Man Show?
Yeah.
The dude that just Cully does. Cully.
Oh, yeah. You think we should try to get him on here and see if he can do it for us?
It would be entertaining. I would be entertained for sure.
He would have won if he said a hot dog was a taco. Here we go. We're never going to get rid of a hot dog as a taco, Bri. So we're
better than hearing about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, we're.
I'll take hot dog as a taco all day.
By the way, I'm glad we didn't talk about it too because he came out in a press conference. We'll talk about it next Friday on our show, draft special show. We're here at the end of our show. We want to thank our troops and first responders for everything you guys do. Cannot do this show without you guys. Thank you guys so much. We want to thank Harold Keel and Lake Erie APA. We want to thank Network 216. We want to thank City Dogs Cleveland. Please go donate, volunteer, adopt, whatever you can do to help out City Dogs Cleveland, May 4th. Bark in the Park, WJ Lodge there in Berea. Please go check that out. $25 donation goes straight to City Dogs Cleveland. So please, and Bri, here it is. I knew it was coming. Just for that, drink, Bri, massage. I knew it. You're out.
I'm out. You? I'm out. Well, yeah. We'll start the next show. Start the next show with a drink.
All right, Bri. God bless him.
God bless you. God bless America.
All right. We are Legal Ham to the Face. We are uncorked, unloaded. We're out. Say it.